Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the morning show here. My last Tuesday of the year. Julie Calamine will be in next week. It's December 20th, almost the solstice. Not quite there. Certainly a very cold day. Anyone who's had an inkling to look outside in the last 24 hours knows that it has been snowing. And right now until 1 a.m. Wednesday, we are under a winter storm warning. High today of 15 degrees, a low tonight of 5. It says 90% chance of snow, but I can tell you from the 4 inches and falling on my car, it seemed like 100% to me. Dick, you're nodding your head. I think you had the same experience.
I did. I did indeed.
We could go through the rest of the week, but it's going to look the same. Snow, cold, wind chill, right on now through to the end of the 7-day forecast. Temperatures are going to be down, frigid, wear an extra pair of long johns, underwear, polypropylene, whatever your flavor is. And we have with us today, three folks in the studio who are delighted by the snow coming down.
Ow!
Yeah! We can hear it now. We are with the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and we mentioned Dick first, so Dick Krismer is in the studio with us. She's in the house.
Yes, good morning.
Board member and court jester extraordinaire.
I put the fun in Nordic. There we go, yeah.
Even where it doesn't fit.
Yeah, even where it doesn't fit. Exactly.
We have Renee Niggan, the board chair of the Sandpoint Nordic Club. Welcome back to the studio, Renee.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Rick Price, who's a longtime advocate of cross-country Nordic skiing, board member, and now on staff. Things you do in your retirement. We're going to hear about that.
You bet. Good morning.
Yeah. So somebody start us off with a brief description of the Nordic Club, how long it's been around, its history, and then we'll get in a little bit more to the background each of you bring to the club.
Yeah, so we have been really lucky to have the Nordic Club around Sandpoint for a long time. Rick's going to help me out. Founding members were?
The France family and the
Longinis.
Nope,
no.
Before the Longinis. I'm blanking out on their names.
Me as well. But the Franz family started us off, and Rick wasn't that far behind. And so they got together and decided we needed people to advocate for Nordic skiing. And then the club grew from there, which has been really exciting. So we started at that Boyer property, and now our home is at Pine Street Woods.
It seems like, and this was true at least a couple of years ago when I was interviewing someone, that there was a remarkable explosion almost of interest in the sport and in the club, say maybe starting about 4 years ago.
I'd like to think it was when we started skiing at the U of I property. I think the Longinis, who you mentioned, somebody mentioned, moved here in 2011, and they really expanded the club and just brought a passion to everything having to do with Nordic skiing, expanded the race team, started buying skis for the first time ever, and I think that's what really got things going.
And what year was that?
That was...
Ish. Well, they were... So I've been on the board for 3 years, and Ross was there for 6 years before.
Okay. They moved here around 2011.
Okay. That sounds about right. So let's step into a little bit about how each of you became involved, perhaps with the sport and the club. And she who laughs first goes first. So, Dick, start us off.
Basically, I used to work for a place that manages some Nordic trails, and I think I was roped into the board because I was a good connection. So careful what you do out there. But I love Nordic skiing. I'm a longtime telemark skier. So for my alpine downhill pursuits, I've telemarked for, close to 30 years, I guess. Jeez Louise. No wonder my knees hurt. And so the transition into Nordic, it's always been something I love to do, just taking the dogs out when I lived in Teton Valley and down south and just kind of getting out into nature. I'm kind of, I don't know if those of you know me, I'm a little spastic. So the moments I can get out into the woods on my Nordic skis, really, it's calming and centering. And so that's where I got involved with it. And a couple of years ago, Ross actually asked me to join the board. And it's been such a joy because I'm a novice, but I love skate skiing and I love what's happening at Pine Street Woods. And I love the outreach that our club is creating. I think COVID also helped our membership because people were looking for new ways to get outside. So that really helped a lot. And our kids in the community have got to get outside. And Nordic skiing is a great way to do that.
Yeah, we've got a lot of programs to talk about, but Let's turn to Renee and hear about how she got involved, especially how you got, I'll say, roped into the board chair, it sounds like.
So my Nordic background goes back to my Wisconsin roots. And so I started Nordic skiing back in Wisconsin when some friends one day were like, hey, have you heard of this thing called the Birkebeiner? And I said, no, I haven't. They're like, oh, sign up for skate ski. And then it turned out I had signed up for a 31-mile race and needed to learn how to skate ski. And so that got me into Nordic skiing, and I haven't looked back since. So when I moved out here to Sandpoint to join my now husband, I put up a Berkey sign in my classroom, and my colleague, Rick Price, walked by, and he was like, you're a Berkey skier. And so he actually, Rick is the reason that I am involved in the Nordic Club, which is awesome. And so then from there, I started doing different things with the Nordic Club, and then Ross approached me to join the board, and I was thrilled to do that. So, yeah, and then when Ross left, when the Longinis moved on to their next adventure, we needed a new board chair, and so that was it. Yeah, there was no other choice,
it sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
so many organizations. Rick, before you tell us about you, tell us a little bit about the Birkebeiner for the uninitiated.
Sure. The Birkebeiner is the Boston Marathon of skiing in North America. I guess it's not as big as the race down in Spokane, but it's about 10,000 skiers from all over the world show up in northern Wisconsin the fourth weekend in February. And like Renee said, a 31-mile race. They have a classic ski race that's 55K and a skate ski race that's 50 kilometers. And it's the biggest thing on snow, unless you go to Europe, where the real Birkebeiner attracts about 30,000 people in Norway.
I know I see it pop up in a lot of local folks' Facebook feeds. They're going or wish they were going or reporting from coming back.
Right. There's a few people from Sandpoint every year. Since I've been keeping track, we had 5 1 year, and that's been the most in 1 year. I'd love to hear from old timers who have done the Berkey in years past, find out if there's been another resurgence like there is now, because it's really exciting. And the best thing about it is you're in the best shape of your year in friggin' February.
Yeah. When
everybody else is slugging along, and it really, really is what gets me through the winter.
So let's tell us a little bit more about how you you became involved with
the club. I was a Nordic skier from way back. I was the guy that was tromping around golf courses in the Midwest as a kid, and my favorite kind of skiing is just getting out on trails by myself in the snow, busting my own trail, and then enjoying it on the way back. And then back to the Birkebeiner, my brother, who's a Nordic skier, lives down in Haley, Idaho, and he got me convinced to do the Berkey about 15 years ago. And like Renee, I first committed to the race, and then I realized I got to learn how to ski, skate ski. And it's changed my life since then. Like I said, I'm in great shape for a 64-year-old guy in February, which gets me through the winter. And there you go.
All right.
So skate skiing or die. I'm putting it out there right now.
So let's go with that. Tell us a little bit about the variations of the sport for folks moving new to our area. You mentioned skiing, and they think Schweitzer and they think downhill, but
there's a wide
array of types of skiing.
I love talking about cross-country skiing because it's the first type of skiing. Cross-country skiing developed when people needed to get from one place to another across the snow, and they started strapping boards on their feet, and then they figured out they got to put some tips on them to make it easier. And
you haven't been around that long.
that was me that figured that out. No.
Yeah.
And cross-country skiing is literally going anywhere you want on snow. It includes telemark skiing that Dig mentioned. It includes ski jumping. A dream of mine is to get a ski jump up on the sled hill when we finally get that opened up. And skate skiing and classic skiing are the big ones we focus on. Skate skiing is kind of like an ice skate technique where you're going side to side a little bit and diagonally moving forward that way. And classic skiing is where is what you think of when you think of Nordic skiing. It's just railroad tracks, two lines in the snow, and everybody follows each other. And that's what the Nordic Club focuses on, skate skiing, laying down a groomed track wide enough for the skate skiers, and also laying down some tracks inside that for the classic skiers.
Yeah, I've never quite gotten the balance rhythm thing down to do the skate skiing myself, but I do like going out, and, you know, we growing up would just generically call it cross-country skiing, although ski touring and Nordic skiing seem almost interchangeable with that classic style.
That's most people, classic is what they think of when they think of skiing. Skate skiing is kind of a niche thing for people that really get into it.
So let's turn to the club. Tell us what the purpose, the goals, the mission, what the drive is all about.
The purpose of the Nordic Club, our goal is to provide access for all to get out and cross-country ski. So we want to make sure that anyone can recreate in the winter and come up and ski, and we want to provide a place for that, which is Pine Street Woods, and then also access through equipment so that there are no barriers to get out cross-country skiing.
Mm-hmm. Let's dig into that a little bit. We can go to dig, but I didn't really dive into that a little bit. But there was the U of I. I remember it fondly. And then for reasons that have to do with development as much as anything, that no longer became viable. And about the same time, the Pine Street Woods was becoming an option. So there was a shift.
Yeah, huge, huge shout out to our partners at KLT and our Summertime Pop partners. It's a great example of the community collaboration that can happen. You know, Pine Street Woods, it's such a gift. And the fact that we have the Nordic Center up there and the fact that we are getting such great snow. Last season was amazing. This season is starting off fabulously. And we have an amazing addicted grooming crew who are so passionate about making sure that the track and the skate deck and the single trails for fat tire biking up in Pine Street Woods is impeccable. And I can't thank them enough, because that really does make the whole experience better for everybody. And as a beginner, having such a phenomenal skate deck and clean track just it really helps. It really helps. Mm-hmm. So
and we say Pine Street Woods, but it seems like it's growing into a complex with the VTT trails, Sherwood Forest.
Are they complex? Yeah. That's a whole other show, Phil. Yeah.
How much of all that is groomed and open?
So if we go back from the movement from Boyer to Pine Street Woods, one big piece was looking for an area that was higher in elevation so that we could get more snowfall. And a big piece of that, I'm going to turn over to Rick, because the history of us being at Pine Street Woods came back to a High Five grant that Rick was part of.
Right. We the Land Trust and the Nordic Club together applied for a grant through the High Five, which is the Blue Cross Foundation. And the way I explain it to kids is insurance companies want people to be healthy so they don't have to spend money on us. And we went to them and said, we live in this ski town, and 2/3 of the kids in our town have never been on skis. And they gave us a grant to build the building and fill it full of skis. And we've since then, I have to describe the building. If you haven't been up to Pine Street Woods, it's a beautiful, probably about 1,200 square foot building. A third is a beautiful community room that anybody can use for all kinds of things. They have classes in the summer. There's a music group that's meeting up there now. And it's a place to warm up on winter days for skiers, too. The middle third of that building is crammed full of cross-country skis. We have, I think, 400 pairs of skis, both classic and skate, youth and adult sizes, and we also have about 40 pairs of snowshoes that we rent out and use for the school groups, which I'll talk more about in a bit. And then the last part is a garage with two snowmobiles, and the Ponderay Peddlers keep their snow groomer, which is this, it's a Star Wars type contraption where you stand on one part and it pulls you along on a separate thing, and it grooms the narrow trails that are used by dog walkers and snow bikers and snowshoers and hikers when the trail's hard enough that you can just step on it.
So this evolution's been fairly rapid. The rental center's only been there, what, a couple years?
Right. This is our fourth season up there.
Fourth season. Wow.
And we started building the building in August and moved in just as the snow started flying in November.
The day or for the season?
We rent for the day, for the week, and for the season. Yeah, we have about 100 pairs of skis out for the season now. If you're a season renter, we ask you to join the Nordic Club first. But daily and weekly rentals are open to anybody.
Mm-hmm. So there are other locations, at least available in the area, and we want to touch on those at some point. Are there other locations that the Nordic Club's involved with maintaining or grooming?
So our main area that we groom and maintain is Pine Street Woods. So we, with our partnership with KLT, our agreement is that we manage the wide trails up at Pine Street Woods. And so throughout all seasons, we make sure that those are maintained. And during the winter, we groom them 7 days a week.
Wow.
Which is really an excellent thing for this community. That's not normal to have your local community trails groomed 7 days a week. But we have a team of groomers who Dig mentioned that are really pumped about grooming every year. And so it's really exciting. They are out on those trails. And so they're groomed either in the evening or at night, depending on the snowfall. And the groomers make sure they talk to make sure they're grooming at the right time to get the best conditions for our community. Mm-hmm. And so there's both a skate lane that's groomed, and then classic tracks are also set. And so during the winter, that's the only time we just have that. It's only skiers on those wide trails, just because we put so much effort into grooming them for a good experience. Yeah. On all seven, we have 7 kilometers of trails up at Pine Street Woods.
So only skiers on the wide trails. So the fat tire mountain bikers go on the skinny trails, and snowshoers can go where?
Skinny trails.
On the narrow trails, too.
And there are snowshoes so they can just walk off in the woods, too. You don't have to stay on the trails.
That's permissible. In some places, it's not, I think.
Right.
But
right.
Good. Yeah.
And I would add that since the Nordic Club started, there's lots more skiing around. There's up at Priest Lake, there's trails now. I just heard there's the bike club up in Boundary County is now grooming some classic and skate trails. Yep. And we just heard that Hickey Farms is starting do some sort of grooming for about 5 miles of trails out that way, too.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but the Western Pleasure Guest Ranch at one point
still
was groomed.
They still are.
They still are.
So, yeah. Right. I heard that they were. Yeah. Haven't confirmed.
Right.
Heard a rumor.
And there are some fabulous places, Schweitzer, we
need to say that Schweitzer is the only trails groomed around here that are groomed with a
piston bully
wide trail grooming, and their trails are always in great shape, and they're big supporters of the Nordic Club, too.
Yeah. That's just a higher level of groomer.
It's higher, it's what all
it's
groomers dream about.
It's also
the same,
uphill both ways. So
the same groomers they use on their downhill trails, but they
it's
have
gorgeous
a little
up there when you ski up at Schweitzer, and you can get up and around, and it's a big day, it's a fun day. You get up to Wolf Ridge, and it's perfectly groomed, and you stop kind of at the corner of it, and you watch the skiers skiing down to Stella, and you're there on your Nordic skis in this beautiful, magical forest, and highly recommend it. If you haven't skied up Nordic, if you haven't done Nordic at Schweitzer, highly recommend it.
I would also add that Schweitzer's trails are not for beginners. And
absolutely not. That's where we come into play.
They do have that one area outside the resort proper, I think, the roundabout.
Yeah, the roundabout. In the past, there was about a mile-long trail that was great. It was a flat, easy trail for people, and it was groomed and, good spot for people and dogs to kind of go learn and practice. With the new construction of the lower base camp area at the mountain, I think some of that has changed. Mm. I know that they were talking about having some available this winter, Renee, probably. Check it out. Yeah, we have to check and
so
make
that's
sure.
That's the TBA.
Yeah.
And we'd be remiss. You mentioned Priest Lake. I love the Chipmunk Rapids area. There's wonderful stuff right there. That's a different Nordic club, but you know, so but,
you know. No, well, we love those guys.
Yeah, and then a great shout out to Dave Rosesca, who from time to time grooms at the Blue Gate over off the Dover Highway. In that field, that's really a nice flat spot as well for people to kind of practice and get comfortable.
That's a good beginner. Yeah.
And also, some of those areas are more open to dogs than we
exactly
are. We have a lot of skaters on our trails and a lot of beginner skiers, and we ask people not to bring dogs onto the Nordic trails. We open them up Friday afternoons just because we have so many dogs in this town, and they like to chase their masters around on skis.
Someday we will have ski joring with dogs. I'm gonna push for that.
Yep, we will. We'll have more.
No, you're supposed to pull the skier.
Yeah, that's why I like doing it. Do you imagine ski joring at Schweitzer? We'd be like up, pshw, bumping around. That'd be so great.
And we've had on the show folks from the state park system, and I'll say Farragut, on the right conditions in the right year, the whole trail system down there for winter sports is phenomenal.
Mm. I bet they're in good shape this winter. Yeah,
I suspect so with the storm system predicting 6 inches of snow for the Coeur d'Alene area. The cross-country trails, the snowmobile trails, the fat bike trails there, nice little warming center.
Yeah, and these cold temps, I mean, to that point, the cold temps are going to set up the skate deck fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. Just make sure if anyone, my little PSA, if you're going to go out and Nordic ski, make sure you're prepared. Cover up your exposed skin. Keep your hands warm. Don't get frostbite.
Yeah.
Stop in the warming center. definitely be careful. But
now, there was, and I think it's been discontinued, in an area out Lakeshore about 6 miles out.
Yeah, we used to have a nice area that was out on Lakeshore, but that property is no longer available. That's where all of our efforts are then. Our groomers are all working at Pine Street Woods, and that's the area that the Nordic Club manages.
Wonderful. So let's take a short music break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the programs. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
We've got, by special request, a winter song. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, there we go. We're off to Let It Snow.
I love that song.
Let It Snow. Yeah, I mean, we're in the studio with three people who are definitely of the camp Let It Snow. I can tell you there's some folks, because of the wintry conditions, the wintry mix, and the temperatures, who would just as soon not let it snow.
And we've had almost none of that this winter.
No,
it's been a great winter.
It's been a great winter. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show. If you're just stepping in, this is 88.5 FM, KRFY, and we're here this morning. I'm your host, Phil Huff, talking with three members, board members of the Sandpoint Nordic Club, Dig Krismer.
Hello.
Hello, Dig. And Renee Niggin.
Hello.
Renee and Rick Price.
Howdy.
And we were just talking before the program in the larger sense about the club, and we want to dig into some of the programs and upcoming events, activities, that sort of stuff. And who wants to start us off?
I think we can start with Rick, because our biggest program at the Nordic Club is our school program, which Rick is our fearless leader of. So I'm going to turn it over, because that is our largest and I think our just the best program we have.
Well, thanks. It's a gas. We work with the school district and other schools in town, and get third through sixth graders up skiing one classroom at a time all winter long. We start the day we get back, January 3rd.
Yes.
I don't think anybody signed up for that first day. They were a little too afraid to get going. But January 4th. Yeah, January 4th, we'll be there. And the big yellow bus comes up the hill. And the kids get off, we throw skis on them and get out on the trail skiing. And it is, you know, this is the fourth year of the program now, so we're going to have kids that have been out three times already at least. And it's a gas. We have a good cadre of volunteers coming up to help. Everything from fitting boots to the one thing I always tell the volunteers and the parents is don't pick up the kids when they fall.
Yeah. I have to say, I've gotten to help Rick with this program, and it is a highlight of my winter. Just one, Rick is a former teacher in Sandpoint, so he's got such a great way with the kids. And then two, they all get in there, and a lot of them are nervous, and they don't know what they're doing, and these skinny skis and these weird poles, and what the heck is this? And Rick takes them all outside and then teaches them how to be a dead bug. And at first, the kids are like, what? And then he gets them all to fall down and roll over onto their back and get their skis up so they can get back up easily. And from there, it just, the giggles start and everyone gets silly. And because Pine Street Woods is such an open space, you know, we have kids kind of heading off in a variety of directions and a variety of ability levels. And Rick takes off with some of the ones who really know what they're doing. And next thing you know, they're, you know, skate skiing off of everything. And it's just so fun to watch because they really are owning it, and Rick's energy is great. So huge kudos to him.
And the trails up there all funnel back to the lodge in the parking area. So there's almost all, I would say always an adult with the kids. The kids don't go wandering off in the woods too much, but they always end up back, and we lure them back in with hot cocoa as well at the end. And it's just a great day. The teachers that come up just love the program, and we're starting to turn Sandpoint into a real ski town where everybody skis. That's the goal of the program, and that's the goal of our club.
How many schools do you work with?
We work with, we haven't had Hope out yet, but we've had Northside, Southside, Sagal, Farmers-Tidwell, Washington, the Waldorf School. I think we just got a sign up from a school down in Hayden. Am I missing anybody?
I'm probably missing somebody.
They come out for
Clark Fork
High School's been out. You bet.
They come out for one day or multiple days?
Only one.
Yeah. One year we had a few enough slots that some folks came out more than once, but, one day as a third grader, one day as a fourth grader. And now we got those kids signing up for our after school program. Yeah. And it's slowly expanding. It's the highlight of the winter for a lot of kids.
Yeah, when I'm not Nordic skiing, I teach sixth grade at Farmers-Tidwell. And this year in September, the sixth graders came in, and within the first week of school, they asked me, when are we going cross-country skiing at Pine Street Woods? So they're the ones who have been in the program since the beginning. So a lot of them, it's going to be their fourth year.
Nice.
And they are very excited. So we'll be up there on the 4th to start the season off.
Yeah, so each school, you might have a fourth grade class one day, a fifth grade class one day, a sixth
exactly.
grade class.
Exactly. We run the program Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I should mention we're always looking for volunteers. You can track us down at sandpointnordic@gmail.com and just shoot me a note if you're interested in volunteering to help. It'll be the most fun you have this winter, too, I promise.
Agreed.
And,
totally agreed. Yeah, it's just getting the kids out in snow is really important. I mean, I think, you know, in our community, with having access to the mountains and being winter, 8 months of the year, it feels like it's really good to get everyone comfortable in those places and spaces. And the program really does that. So,
and we have to thank for the second year in a row, the Cal, the Community Assistant League, has funded our school program. So this is also free for the schools. We just asked for a small donation. So that also just, it takes away all barriers, and the goal is just to get kids up skiing. And last year we served 700 kids, local kids in the district. So it's fantastic.
Well, with the lake and the mountains, it seems like a natural that every kid should learn to swim. I know the Longbridge swim is working on that, and everyone should learn to ski or at least know what it's like.
You're right.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, totally agreed.
So tell us, that must keep you very busy, Rick.
Well, he loves it. He's like the hot cocoa guy. Like the best part too.
I do run back just to serve the kids cocoa because I don't miss teaching, but I do miss being with kids a whole bunch. And
it's even funnier too. Like this winter alone, I think I was up there on a Saturday, and there was this family. And it was obvious that the child, who's probably fourth or fifth grade, had been to the Nordic Center and had brought his parents up, you know, as a first time thing. And he's like, okay, this is where we go. And there better be cocoa when we were done. And he was so, but he owned it. That was his experience. And he was bringing his parents and they were, it was really cute. And again, it's definitely because of the school program. So. Well,
and one thing we do with the kids is we give them all a coupon that they can come back and bring their parents. And the kid skis for free and the rest of the family skis for half price rentals. I should mention that anybody who has skis can come up and ski for free. Pine Street Woods is open to all. We try to hit you up for a donation, but we don't require one. Nobody's going to stop you from getting on our trails.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Club memberships.
Yeah, so for club membership it's $45 for an individual and $80 for an entire family. And that so through the club membership, you are really supporting our programs and then also grooming with 7 days a week. And so it goes directly back to the goal is that money goes right back to our members who are our huge supporters. And that we do everything so that we can get our community out skiing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also with those as a member too, and then even non-members, but then we're offering some adult clinics. And so coming up on Friday with Rebecca Dussault, who is a former Olympian, and we are so grateful to have her to lead adult clinics. But she's leading an intermediate skate lesson on this Friday, an advanced skate next Friday. And so on sandpointnordic.com, we have all of our adult clinics, which are classic. There's also a wax clinic tonight, and then our Learn to Ski Days. But all of those can be found on sandpointnordic.com.
I was going to say, the Learn to Ski Days. I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking someone new to town, never been on skis before, they'd want to come out to the Learn to Ski Day.
Yeah, so Learn to Ski Days are specifically for anyone who's never been on classic skis, never been on skis, or maybe is just a real beginner and is nervous. And so they're open to families, and it's a two-hour session where our goal is to get you comfortable on your skis so that you can fall down and get yourself back up and then feel
dead bug
and feel comfortable skiing the trails. So that's the beauty about Pine Street Woods is that they're all beginner-friendly trails.
There must be a source of information for all this, a website or Facebook page or...
Both. We try to keep our Facebook page going, but it's more full of fun pictures and updates on things. The real source of information is our website, sandpointnordic.com.
So that's where someone might go to for current conditions?
The grooming report is updated every day. And then also that's where you can sign up for any adult clinics or any program as well and see what events. There's free moon skis coming up or full moon skis that are free. So all the events are on sandpointnordic.com.
Yeah, that's another piece too. Besides the clinics and the youth ski program, the after school program, there's a variety of different things. There's also just trying to create that community around Nordic. There's a pretty heavy Midwest Wisconsin element to our club who embraces all things Nordic and just getting together in community to share that place and space. So like the full moon ski that Renee talks about, that's a great event because it's just come out, hang out, go ski around Pine Street Woods under the full moon. And get to know other people who like to ski in the community, and that stuff like that is really great. And as the group has evolved, I mean, we've talked about, you know, loving to see more potentially some fun, goofy races or, you know, setting some challenges. We have the distance challenge for some of our members have signed up, you know, to do a distance over the winter and really keep the Nordic stoke going. So that's been great. It's really nice to have a Nordic connection and all things.
So are the full moon events open to the public? Or?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the dates are on the website. I think it's January 6th this year. And Celeste is going to be leading that, which is good fun. So, check it out.
We have them set up if you need to rent. I think we even have free rentals if you're a member.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you're not a member, we charge $5 to rent skis for the night.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad. Any other events coming up you want to talk about?
The Berkey.
The Berkey.
Mini Berkey. We should do like the Pine Street Woods Berkey, trails in both directions twice. You know, like we can do it multiple times.
Yeah, no, I think all of our upcoming programming can be found on sandpointnordic.com. Okay. And they're is something for everyone between the Learn to Ski Days in January, the different skate clinics, and then also there's classic clinics coming up as well for adults. In January, our Youth Ski League starts, and that's an 8-week program that's twice a week after school. And so right now we have about 60 kids who will be participating in that. So
that sounds competitive.
So the goal of the Youth Ski League is just to get kids out. We have our little steppers who are just starting to learning how to ski, age 6. And then we move up into our classic classes and skate. And then our Devo team, our development team, that is for kids who are interested in learning and putting skate and classic techniques together and getting to race. But the goal is really to have fun. We want them to be playing games on skis, and the ultimate thing is Nordic skiing is a lifelong sport, right, and we want them to experience that.
But we've seen some really strong local kids. Yeah. I mean, Callahan, you want to talk about how that went? I mean, we've got some really strong kids in our community who are killing it out there.
We have the community, the Waters, kids are racing out of Bozeman. Callahan just went to Bend and did fantastically. And so we have some really strong racers who have kind of moved through the program and are now racing at the next level, which is really exciting.
Nice. I can see Rick's mind already conspiring to do a Berkey bus.
Some year we will all meet in Wisconsin together, you bet.
Yes. That should be a Christmas carol. Yeah. We'll all meet in Wisconsin.
We'll all meet in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd go.
Well, what are we missing? What else would we like to talk about here?
I think our biggest, we are just, as the Nordic Club, we're really grateful to all of our members and our partnerships too with KLT, Kinnexu Land Trust, and Pondere Peddlers. Our groomers who are out there 7 days a week, we would not be able, the trails wouldn't be in the conditions without them. And then, too, we have a lot of community grants support us as the Nordic Club. And so we're just really grateful to all of Sandpoint for investing in Nordic skiing and then coming out and enjoying the trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would just add that the biggest joy to me for skiing is seeing the huge variety of ages and sizes and styles of equipment. And I remember the old lady, I guess I'm an old man now, a lady in a big old wool coat that was from the 50s, and she's just skiing along on these ancient skis and was this one of the happiest things I've ever seen. She was just so happy to be out there. And anybody can ski. Most people that try it love it. Some people come up and try it and they find out they don't like it. Hey, that's okay too. Just getting out is the important thing.
Well, it seems important here to be able to get out and enjoy some of the winter. Otherwise, it's a long winter. It's dark and you're inside. So finding some way to really appreciate what we have here to offer. Cross-country skiing, Nordic skiing seems to be one of the most accessible of those ways.
And know the Nordic Club is here to help anybody that's listening right now. We want to help you get out skiing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Come and see us. on that too, the outdoor, the recreation center, we are open on every weekend. We'll be closed Christmas Day. But we are open on the weekends for rentals and open for to come in and warm up. And we'll also be open the whole week between Christmas and New Year's. So come on up and use, even if you're just, we've had a lot of families, they ski for a little while, come in and grab hot chocolate, have a snack, come in and say hi to Rick or Tom or Pat. You can come up and ask any questions, but that rental center is open through every weekend.
Yeah. 9 to 4.
9 to 4.
Christmas Day closed. New Year's Day open?
New Year's Day we are open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Christmas Eve.
There are other partners in the community who do rent Nordic equipment. So if you find want to go ski on a day that the rec center isn't open, I know OE Outdoor Experience. And then does Charles still do his rentals as well? I'm not sure. Charles, do you still do your rentals? I don't know. but yeah, definitely OE for sure. So, you know, take advantage of that if you want to come up midweek and the center isn't open. As Rick mentioned, the trails are free to access. So if you have gear, you rent from someplace else. Or if you're visiting from out of town and you brought your gear, by all means, come up. The trail map is available on the website, sandpointnordic.com. The loops are pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. And as Rick mentioned, you can't really get too lost out there.
They all funnel back.
I do want to have a debate at the end of the season which way to go, clockwise or counterclockwise on the trails, because they're both different experiences. So I'd really fascinated to have a poll going as to which way is really good for you.
If it gets busy enough, Farragut, it's one direction. It's clockwise.
Yeah, we don't have that yet. We don't have that yet.
Try to avoid.
We try to avoid rules.
Yeah.
Come on and ski.
Okay. So one more time, the rental center is generally open what hours? What day?
Weekends 9 to 4 and that whole week between Christmas and New Year's, including New Year's Day.
Okay. Perfect. What a great note to end on. Any other closing thoughts, Rick?
You don't need trails. You can ski anywhere. You can. I saw skiers as I came across Long Bridge yesterday, just out on the lake bed.
Renee?
Yeah, no. Come up in Nordic Ski. Try it out. It's the best.
Dig's last word.
Skate or die.
That's kind of a somber note.
I love skiing. It's addicting. Come out and join us. It'll be fun to see everyone on the trails.
I'm looking forward to the moonlight, though.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That'd be fun. Well, once again, if you've just tuned in and missed part of the interview, you'll be able to hear it as a podcast later on today or at least sometime this week at krfy.org. We've had a wonderful time this morning chatting with folks from the Sandpoint Nordic Club, Renee Nygund, Rick Price, and Dig Krismer. Thank you for coming to the studio.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping us get the word out.